Welcome to AMD Tech Talk, your source for the latest in data center innovation and insight on AMD's latest technology breakthroughs. And now here's your host, Jim Green.
Thanks for listening today. Our guest is Steen Graham, founder of Metrum AI. Steen, thanks for joining us.
Jim, thanks for having me. I was just alluding to earlier that I was binging some of your guys' latest content. You've built a fantastic platform and a lot of great speakers and great breadth and depth of dialogue here. So thrilled to be here with you today.
Great. I'm glad to have you to add you to the portfolio. So you've got a long history in tech and you've trailblazed a really unique position for yourself in the industry now with Metrum. For those of you that aren't as familiar with you as I am, can you start with an introduction of yourself and your background?
Yeah, Jim, much like you, a deep background in the semiconductor industry, spent 17 years in the semiconductor industry and had the unique opportunity to work on cutting edge AI chips, purpose-built chips for AI. In addition to that, worked on optimization toolkits to make models run faster and had the unique experience to build industry-specific solutions, full stack AI solutions from that semiconductor vantage point. And then recently, 3 years ago, got really excited about, at the time, deep learning-based convolutional neural net succeeding the human eye and decided that I'd found my own AI company. And it's been thrilling ever since.
Excellent. So let's talk a little bit about what you're focused on today, and especially in the domain of testing AI workloads. What made you gravitate to that, and what makes it traditional? Why is it a different challenge, perhaps, from some of the more traditional workload profiling?
Yeah, I think with the advent of transformer models and generative AI led us to a situation where we needed to understand how to deploy these models, both train them or fine tune them and deploy them or conduct inference at scale. And that was quite an interesting problem over the last couple of years. What happened was there's an orientation towards deploying them in real world settings. And there's been a massive amount of questions around how to get the right infrastructure for those tasks. And that led us to the opportunity to build a toolkit that allowed us to test tens of millions of permutations across those workloads and orient more towards real world workloads as well. So where a couple of years ago, it was just a base model, foundational model that you were testing for throughput and performance and accuracy. And today you're testing full RAG applications, including the embeddings models, the vector DBs. And of course, for those of us that have been in the AI journey for a while now, there's some industry standard performance characteristics that you look for, and they tend to be pretty far behind the pace of innovation in the market. Mm-hmm. And building tools that, for example, obviously we've tested Llama 3.1 and all the latest, greatest models. Another thing for us is if you're going to build an enterprise product, which we've done as well, you actually have to test all the models, not only for performance and throughput and the ability to fine tune them, but you have to test them so you can deploy a highly fortified, high quality enterprise AI application. I know you've talked about on this podcast about hallucinations in the past and the challenges enterprises are having in getting high fidelity outcomes as well. So turns out you've got to do a ton of work in testing before you can even trust to deploy an enterprise, especially for the clients that we target, high fidelity enterprise AI applications. Companies that are looking to transform the top line of their business versus just have a productivity tool or a co-pilot.
Thanks for setting the stage there, because you've been in this part of the industry for a minute and you've seen a lot of transformation, and you brought up the concept of innovation is just incredible. So where are we on the adoption curve and where do you see enterprise today? Yes, you mentioned some are doing real high fidelity stuff and others are doing more productivity and a little bit less sensitive. Where are enterprises today broadly, and where do you see them going in 2025?
Yeah, I think there's a wide distribution of enterprises on the journey in AI today. So it's always tough to characterize that question. But I think at this point, almost everybody has had the opportunity to use AI from a productivity toolkit and in the knowledge space, where they're just using a simple chatbot interface to create content, write emails, be able to build new presentations with modern AI features. So I feel like everybody's tried that. Now, when it gets into actually driving your product or your top line value to customers, people are on kind of a wide range journey there. So some of the leading financial institutions have produced models and offered it to their clients already. You're probably familiar with Bloomberg GPT. That's a great example of an offering that they made a major investment in at kind of the advent of Gen AI and continue to invest. So those companies at the forefront, I think, are still fewer and farther between than really we'd love to see in the market, because there is a tremendous opportunity to transform your business. But when you get to the situation where you're in some of the most trusted applications in the world, like legal, financial, banking sector, healthcare sector, you really want to make sure you have no hallucinations and you've got the right human loop checks in place. And that's why we've been adding a ton of new techniques around these generative AI models to make sure that they can be applied for high fidelity applications. Fine tuning based on proprietary data, pairing it with your proprietary data based on retrieval augmented generation, software defined prompting, because the variability of the outcome based the prompt is too risky in a lot of these high fidelity applications. And of course, like agentic workflows where we're abstracting a lot of the AI into a digital agent as well. And then human in the loop being for quality. One of the new features that we recently launched and implemented is our KYAI element of our platform. That's Know Your AI. And we're continuously monitoring the AI in development and in deployment for a set of domain-specific metrics to make sure there's no hallucinations. It's still meeting the same rigorous quality requirements of that particular industry or domain. And of course, we also use standard metrics around like toxicity as well, because of course, we want to make sure we've got those base level elements done. But there's a lot of work being done right now to get the models to perform at that opportunity for these trusted enterprise applications so they can deploy it in their line of business. And I think we're hitting the cusp of adoption there and definitely on the forefront of testing, piloting, and attempting those workloads. And some of the cutting edge companies are applying it today, and they're definitely impacting their competition when you do that. You'll see a whole kind of subsegment of industries move once one of the leading companies makes an investment and offers a solution to their clients.
So can you tell us a little bit about the solutions that you're bringing to market today and how are they being used?
Yeah, so we have three offerings today. And as you alluded to and what we talked about, our real-world performance testing toolkit is the foundation of our product line. And you know, that's where we're assessing all of the new foundational models, all of the new techniques around fine-tuning, retrieval augmented generation, quantization techniques as well, and optimization techniques. And we're looking at that from a total throughput, latency, performance, but also a quality and accuracy threshold as well. That informs what we do on our Metrum Enterprise product, where we have an enterprise offering that's multimodal retrieval augmented generation. Mm-hmm. And thanks to GPUs like the MI300X from AMD, we're able to stuff in a ton of models into that, right? The embeddings model, the language model, audio model, video models as well, all into one GPU system to deploy some of those critical applications. And so we want to make sure we match enterprises' data, and enterprise data is not just text. Every enterprise has audio, visual data as well that pairs really well with these modern generative AI techniques. But ultimately, as you alluded to, where we really see innovation is building solutions that are custom for different enterprise applications. And for example, in the healthcare space, we've been building out offerings with industry standard medical software components like OpenEMR, Open Medical Records, DICOM-based protocols for radiology or pathology images. And then pairing that with the cutting edge generative AI techniques around multimodal AI in solving problems like how do we see more patients faster and increase patient outcomes as well by allowing doctors to just audio transcribe their patient conversations. They don't have to go back and write a patient visit summary. They can get an audio transcription, enabling them to use cutting edge techniques like vision language models where they can upload pathology images and actually get a diagnosis from the AI, which of course they would check themselves with a human as well. And so that type of application, we're seeing a lot of innovation on solutions around fully agentic solutions. So we've got some offerings in the telecommunications place where we take all of this telemetry data off of base stations for quality of service. Nobody likes dropped calls, right? Everybody wants high fidelity cellular coverage, but you're monitoring millions of data points. And there's a great way that you can take those data points into a generative AI solution and look at the quality level of your network infrastructure and create indicators and reports on network infrastructure quality as well. And ultimately help all of the technicians that are monitoring those base stations that have cellular infrastructure to understand how they can improve quality of service and where they're seeing challenges across like that vast array of infrastructure. So there's two cutting edge examples of industry specific applications that we're working on. And for us, we want to focus on helping businesses transform beyond productivity tools. How do we actually impact their key performance indicators as a company, like quality of service, or seeing more patients in the healthcare space? So certainly we built a really vast portfolio of solutions that orient around business outcomes and driving top level KPIs versus just making people a bit faster and a bit more productive with the chatbot, for example.
I would imagine that vertical approach does allow you to get deeper and bridge more to that end business outcome or that business out KPI. It's one thing to know quality of service, another to be able to say you've got spare capacity or you're wasting power, or you could power down some of those radio heads and then power them back up during your peak hours, et cetera. That's probably a little bit easier than, as you mentioned, a general purpose interactive tool.
Yeah, and there's great companies with material footprints that we all know and use today around productivity tools. And so for someone like us, what we really try to apply our effort is how do we help companies transform their business and solve major problems for them? And another great example where there's some tension is if you have a loss event, you've got a hurricane or you've got hail damage, you've got a regulatory pressure to actually make sure people get paid from their insurance policies so they can go rebuild their houses and recover their lives. The insurance companies want to delight their customers. They want to write those checks, but they have procedures to go through. They've got policy to execute to. And we build multimodal AI solutions where we assess damage as it occurs, actually provide preliminary early warning on where you're going to have a potential loss event, whether it's fire or storm, and then be able to assess the policies and put out early recommendations and then bring the rest of the certified professionals in at a much faster rate to drive the outcomes there. Where there's an opportunity, where there's a regulatory pressure, there's customers that are really pushing for these solutions, there's a huge opportunity to deploy generative AI, ultimately to enrich people's lives.
Mm-hmm. A much more holistic approach there. With your background in silicon and certainly your experience in various testing infrastructures and AI, of course, one of the things I need to ask, because one of the things I hear a lot is, what's the right infrastructure for me, right? This thing is evolving so quickly. What do you have to say about the importance of infrastructure selection to enterprises? And does working with someone like AMD or system OEMs help?
Yeah, it's extremely important. A year ago or 2 years ago, kind of as we look at base level foundational models, it was a simpler world than it is today. But even then, the question was, hey, if I'm going to service a chatbot, how many simultaneous users can I support? Mm-hmm. And the techniques we have around distillation, quantization, and different optimization techniques have allowed us to dramatically reduce the cost of serving simultaneous users on a basic chatbot application. Similarly, from a training experience, there's all these modern techniques. I mean, what we normally do is we take foundational models and we fine tune them for industry specific use cases. And the techniques to do fine tuning have dramatically changed in such that you need maybe 10 to 50x less infrastructure than you would just a year ago. So there's like these massive changes in those base level fine tuning and model deployment techniques. But where things are a little bit more complicated is when you start orienting around driving these industry-specific use cases in these domains like multimodal AI. Now we need to think, oh, it's not just one large language model. It's the embeddings model. It's the vector database, the graph DBs. It's the audio model element as well. It's maybe an image model. And then it's all the industry-specific software stack that sits on that. And that's becoming even more complicated for understanding your infrastructure requirements. And this is where like really critical conversations can be had around things like memory footprint. One of the reasons we frequently use MI300X is because it allows us with the capacity to deploy a full stack enterprise solution with that breadth of models and capabilities. So I'm not looking for running a language model really fast. I'm looking for the breadth of those 3-4 models on that, and then my industry specific software. And so there's different infrastructure planning components based on the real breadth of the application that you're building as well. And again, we're providing infrastructure to test things like a full RAG workload as well. But that decision-making is quite complicated. And that's where a TCO conversation happens. And a good simple way to look at it too is if you want to fine tune cutting edge 405 billion parameter Llama 3.1 model, you know, you can do it on one XE9680, for example, from Dell with MI300X. If you're using the alternative GPU in the market, you might have to buy two. And that's because of the memory footprint. Or you've got to think about a trade-off in quantization that you're going to make, or data format as well, if you want to use the other GPU on the market. So the sophistication of infrastructure planning is greatly changing, and the techniques around it are driving much more affordability on this front. So it's a really fun space to be in. And, you know, week to week, there's new tech as well. I think infrastructure planning is incredibly important. I think the other really key vector to this too is just getting the quality and the accuracy that we expect is requiring us to add a bunch of systematic software on top of these base models. And that needs to be factored in to your infrastructure planning decisions as well. And so that's an incredibly important component to infrastructure
planning. Would you consider the systematic software, just as an example?
Yeah. So if you start applying, for example, software-defined prompting, if you start applying retrieval augmented techniques, you've got the VectorDB. And one of the things that I'm often confounded by is on my daily engineering standups, we'll be swapping VectorDBs frequently based on domain-specific use cases because the quality distribution is so great. And so we're always looking for a better improvement on any of those systematic software components and different techniques to achieve that as well. So there's a ton of layering that comes in there. And I think that's where the market is definitely moving away from serving a single language model to what's the systematic software that's going to run and solve my business problem. And it's looking a lot different than it was just a year or two ago at the advent of these generative AI models and the conversations we've been having.
Steen, along that same line, do you see a similar shift to, you mentioned more multimodal and more different types of vertical models? Do you see more of a shift towards more small language models as well?
Absolutely. I think small language models are fantastic to apply domain-specific insights to them. And we've had the experience to run small language models on Epic. And if you've made an infrastructure investment already, and traditional data centers that are at scale today are predominantly CPU-driven data centers, right? And
yep.
We have to make these new GPU-centric data centers. But if you're waiting for your GPU-centric data center to come in, you can take advantage of your existing infrastructure by deploying small language models. And that's where I think there's even that systematic level approach where you're using some of the small language models to check the outputs of some of the large language models and vice versa as well. So that systematic approach to high fidelity AI is definitely enhanced with small language models. And there's been some recent announcements that they're participating at the same quality of performance as some of the state of the art 400 billion parameter models as well. So that's definitely a value vector and technique. The trade-off that you have to look at there is sometimes the really big models, they've incorporated a lot of domain specificity. Small language models, you'll have to fine tune for that domain specificity. So if you want to build out a medical small language model, you might need to go through a fine tuning experience where a 400 billion parameter model might already have consumed all the publicly available medical text. So there's those trade-offs as well that are quite fun to think through and implement.
And so different from last year. So let's look ahead now. What's next for you at Metrum? You've got plenty of opportunities to assist companies on their path to AI, either going broader or going deeper. What do you think is the future for Metrum?
It's really three vectors for us. Is number one, we want to make sure that the companies are empowered with the right information to get the right infrastructure and take advantage of the choice that's available in the market today. Because as you know, for the past few years, it's kind of been one solution and one technique. And now there's some great choice in the market. Mm-hmm. It enables some great alternative. That's from a hardware perspective, but that's also from these first layer software techniques and solutions like, hey, is there a small language model right for me? Or should I use a large language model? And how do I incorporate different modern techniques like multimodal RAG into my infrastructure planning experience? So we want to help enterprises make the right decision for their particular use cases, their data, and their particular needs as well. So want to help people there. Two, want to make sure that we can deliver on the promise of generative AI for enterprises by offering high fidelity, continuous monitoring and testing of the models, both in development and in production. So everybody is comfortable with that. And that's our KYAI platform element that we're offering in the market as well. And third, I just want to help empower business leaders that are ambitious about transforming their business, delighting their customers to drive major impacts on their top line and their top line key performance indicators as a company. And we've been lucky enough to be brought in on a number of those opportunities and love to continue to work with those innovators in making this more realistic and delivering on their vision to transform their business and delight their customers.
So that's a great mission, and a lot of people could use that kind of help. Where can folks find out more?
Yeah, you can find out more on metro.ai, and you could always hit me up on LinkedIn or Twitter, and I'd love to learn about people's problems and see if I can help out in any way possible.
Fantastic. This has been a great discussion today, Steen. Thanks so much for sharing your time and your insights with us.
Jim, lucky to be here and thrilled that you built such a great platform for people to get early insights to these innovative tools, techniques, and products.
Thanks so much. And thanks to our audience for listening as we talk tech. Until next time.
Thanks for joining AMD Tech Talk. Find out more about the technologies discussed today at www.amd.com.